Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This week's Torah portion is Vayera. It is Genesis chapter 18 from verse 1 to Genesis chapter 22 verse 24. The Haftorah is 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 37. And the Brit Hadashah is Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38 and Luke 24 verses 36 to 53 and 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 to 11. And before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu, Melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. You are the King of the universe. We thank you and praise you for your word and for all your work in our lives. We thank you for the Sabbaths and for your promise to restore your people. Pray that you would bless your people on this Sabbath in the name of Yeshua. Amen. All right, well, let's go to the Brit Hadashah. I'm going to do a little something different this week. I'm going to start with the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that are after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now we can go and read that same passage in the International Standard Version. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but threw them into the lowest hell and imprisoned them in chains of deepest darkness, holding them for judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world, but protected Noah, a righteous preacher, along with seven others, when he brought the flood on the world of ungodly people, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them by burning them to ashes, making them an example to ungodly people of what is going to happen to them, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was greatly distressed by the immoral conduct of lawless people, for as long as that righteous man lived among them, day after day he was being tortured in his righteous soul by what he saw and heard in their lawless actions, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials and to hold unrighteous people from punishment for punishment on the day of judgment, especially those who satisfy their flesh by indulging in its passions, who despise authority. Being bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to slander glorious beings. Yet even angels, although they are greater in strength and power, do not bring a slanderous accusation against them from the Lord. The angels do not bring slanderous accusations against the righteous from the Lord. Makes me wonder why we do it. Why do we slander each other? Why do we sit in corners and say, well, I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking about, but you probably know? Or we get an email saying roughly the same thing. Well, I've got something against somebody. I'm not going to say who, but y'all probably know who this is. And this, you know, this person. Why do we do that when here in 2 Peter we're told that those who do that are unrighteous? Well, one of the things that we have to do is to actually look at this within ourselves, within our body, within our own personal body and our own personal mind, and within the body of Yeshua. We have a lot of breaches going on in our midst, and we need to do something about it. We need to call on each other to stop doing those things, because the Lord is able to rescue godly people, and He is able to punish ungodly people. See, He doesn't need us for that task. All He needs us to do is to work on behalf of His kingdom and let Him take care of the people who are unrighteous. But in our world today, in the body of Messiah, we have people taking upon themselves to declare who is righteous and who is not righteous, to declare who should be condemned and who should not be condemned. And they're forgetting who it is that actually has the authority to do this. The one who has the authority to do this is the one that's able to put angels in chains and then hold them in prison until judgment time. The one that has the authority to make this kind of judgment is the one who was condemning of Sodom and Gomorrah and actually caused those two cities to burn to ashes. That's the one who has the right to bring judgment against people. You and I do not have the right to make that kind of judgment against people. One of the places where we have run into trouble is where people think that they have the right to be the witness, they have the right to be the judge, and they are also the executioner. And, you know, lately here, I don't know whether it's because I have moved halfway around the world or what the deal is, but I've been seeing a lot of that going on. I'm hearing of it more and more again in the United States, and I see it everywhere I go. Some of that has been leveled against me. I've been judged to be, you know, incompetent in certain areas of my ministry, according to some people. They have disagreed with me on some things that I have spoken, and, you know, they've made a judgment. I no longer deserve to be supported by them because they disagree with me. I see people who just argue with each other all the time, and then they split off from each other and they stop being a community. And so I wanted to broach this subject, and it was not until I was actually reading the Haftarah that I realized that, you know, this is the perfect Torah portion to broach this subject of repairing the breaches. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 12. This is a short chapter, so I'm just going to read most of this to you. I want you to understand what it is to breach the wall of a temple. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priests, All the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that comes to any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was also that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, Why don't you repair the breaches of the house? Now, therefore, receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. So in other words, the Lord is going to take away the money from that the priests were to be given, and it was going to be all then be used to repair the Lord's house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. So they weren't going to receive any kind of money. They weren't going to receive any money for themselves or any money for repairing the breach of the house. It was not going to go to the distribution for the priests. Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put all the money in that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, and that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters of builders and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons, the hewers of stone, and to buy timber and hewed stone, to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. You have heard me say that in every generation, the children of Israel have a mandate to build and maintain the temple. And I'm not talking here just about the physical building, the one that Solomon built, the one that was torn down and then rebuilt and then torn down again. I'm not talking about just that temple. We have that temple is our mandate. But our bodies are the temple of the Lord. And when we do things to harm other individuals, we are doing it to breach the walls of their temples. And in order to stop breaching the walls of the temple, now we have to do something that may be unpleasant for us. You know, like these priests here in 2 Kings chapter 12. They were told to go ahead and, you know, collect the money and to do the repairs. 23 years later, they haven't done it. They have not repaired the breaches of the house. And so what happens after you leave a wall that has been breached and has not been repaired? What happens? Well, it begins to crumble. The little hole that was put in the wall of the house becomes a big wall. And then that whole section will begin to crumble. If you don't take care of repairing the house when the breach has been made, if you let it go too long, then what's going to happen is down the road, it's going to take a lot more effort and a lot more people to get involved with fixing this thing. If the priests in the day of Jehoiada, in the king Jehoash, had done what they were supposed to do and just fixed the breaches that were in the walls, the priests would have been able to do it themselves. What does this represent? This represents that when my wall has been breached, that I have duty to now take care of it. Now. Now. Not 23 years from now. Now. I have a duty to do that now. And if I don't do that, I risk having more problems in the wall of my temple. What is the wall of my temple? We hear a lot from religious people about walls, putting up walls, taking down walls. It's, you know, they talk about walls, and popular psychology talks about walls as, you know, those are negative things, you know. Well, they're not. Every person has a right to their own autonomy, to their own individuality, to their own privacy, to themselves. And we have a right to have boundaries, walls, or whatever other way you want to say it. Every individual has that right. And these are not negative things. Now, yes, people do put up walls, I guess, in a kind of sort of way. But here's what happens when they put up the walls. See, they've got a wall that gets breached. They have a proper wall, like the temple had a proper wall. Every person is a temple if they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are a temple, and they have a wall. They have walls all around them. And those walls get breached. You know, things bump into the walls. People bump into the walls. Just over time, walls begin, you know, the mortar starts to come out. You just, you know, you have to check your temple. You have to go around there and look and see, oh, my goodness, there's a hole over there. And you have to go take care of it. You see, that's your job to do that. It's not somebody else's job at that point. It's when you notice the breach in the wall. It's your job to fix it. You see? And so, you have this breach in the wall, but what do? Instead of fixing that breach, instead of repairing that breach, then you put up an extra wall on the, around the outside of that. Then if somebody breaches that extra wall on the outside of the original wall, that, well, now you, instead of fixing that, you just build up a whole other new wall, rather it than fixing what's broken, you see, rather than repairing the wall. When we put up those extra walls because we refuse to rebuild and repair the original wall, we actually start to cover ourselves up with many more walls than we need. And then we become impenetrable by the things that should penetrate us, like relationships, like the light, like the love of others who would want to come over those extra walls that we put up. We can't receive those things anymore, because we didn't do the thing that needed to be done when the original wall was breached. Now, we have to, if we want to get back to the original wall, we have to go out to those extra walls that we've built outside of the original wall, and we have to tear those down. And that is painful. This is why I'm telling you, when you have a breach in the wall of your house, you have to figure out how that happened. Did the mortar just come out from between the stones? Because if it did, that's just normal wear and tear. And so you just put some more mortar in there and shore that thing up. Or maybe somebody stuck a stick through there. Maybe they got a battering ram and they put a hole in your wall. Then how do you fix it? Well, you have to go to that person and tell them, you know, stop using your battering ram on me. That's how you make your wall so that when you do fix it, they don't come back and batter on it again. See, sometimes what happens is somebody comes along with their battering ram, they put a hole in your wall, and you do fix it. You just decide, oh, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to put the stones and the mortar back here, and I'm just going to, you know, overlook that this person had a battering ram, and they banged into my walls until they put a hole in there. And then that same person will come back time and again and keep doing the same thing. Guess what? That same person is probably doing that to other people. And if you stop them where you are, you'll also be doing a service to the kingdom in getting that person with the battering ram to stop doing that to other people's walls. So we need to take good care of our walls. And so what is the proper way to take care of spiritual breaches in our walls? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7 and start reading there. Because the Lord says, woe to the world because of offenses. Now, what is that? It's scandalon in the Greek. It's 4625 in Strong's. And scandalon is, you know, it's a scandal. It's also here, it's a trap stick. In other words, it's a trap. It's a snare. It's an occasion to fall, a stumbling block. And so he says that these things, these offenses, these scandals are, you know, to be regarded as a woe. Woe to the world because of offenses. Now, offenses are not necessarily sins, although they can be sins. Sometimes it's just, you know, people walking around bumping into each other. But they don't need to become, you know, these little bumping into each other don't need to become these great scandalous offenses. Are you following me? And so he says here, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. You know, so in our life, we are going to have offenses that come. But woe to that person who brings the offense. In other words, woe to the guy that has the battering ram who is battering on people's temple walls, you see? And so he says here, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut them off and cast them from you. It is better for you to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now here that we're reminded of the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. And in that instance, what the Lord is telling us in the Torah is that as the law goes, you need to make restitution for the things that you have done that's been harmful to people. Yet in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, he says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if he sue you at law, take away your coat. Let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. The Lord here is giving us the way to repair the breach. See, if the offender comes, if the guy with the battering ram comes and he puts a hole in your wall. You go out to him and you find out what it is that he wants from you. You go to him. You know, it says here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he has heard you, then you've gained your brother." So we learn that we need to go and find out what he wants. And if he wants our coat, give it to him. Give to him whatever he wants that will satisfy him. In our way of thinking, that is to reward the bad person and to victimize the person who is being beaten. But you see, the way that the Lord looks at it is that you are gaining someone. You are gaining that person if you give to that person what it is that they want in order that they would stop pounding on you. So you go to the person when the breach happens. Now, I've seen throughout the body, in every place where I've been, that people will let breaches happen, and they will, you know, keep letting the original wall crumble, and they'll just keep building up walls around as themselves, as if doing so would keep it from being breached. It doesn't keep it from being breached. The wall of your temple is the wall that the Holy Spirit gives you. The other walls that you build on the outside of that are the walls that you build, and they are not even as strong as the walls, as the individuality, as the, they're not as strong as the walls of the temple that the Lord gives you. And so the more that people pound on you and the more walls you build outside of that original one, the more you're going to feel hurt every time somebody comes along with a battering ram. So if you deal with the situations between yourself and other people at the time that they happen, then later on down the road, you won't have the issue of having to do what Jehoiada had to do. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 12. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 12. And here's what Jehoiada had to do. He had to take away the sustenance from the priest. Everything that the priest had, every piece of energy, every piece of money, everything had to go now, not for the things that the priests needed as far as for their personal, to take care of themselves personally. They had to now give it all in order to repair the breach of the house. Because after 23 years, guess what? All of your walls are getting ready to crumble. And when that happens, you're going to be so in pain. There's going to be so much work to fix what has been hurt in the past. And so all of your resources then come into play. All of your energy is into play just to try to keep from having your personal space be exposed constantly. So you have to take care of things right away. And in this case, after 23 years, let's look at what they had to have. They had to bring in carpenters and builders and masons and hewers of stone. And they had to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house. They had to get a whole bunch of people involved in this thing. Now, if the priests who were overseeing this temple had just fixed it when it needed to be fixed, they would have later on been able to keep their resources, their energy, and not have to have someone tell them what to do. That's what Jehoiada had to do. He had to take it away from them and tell them what to do. I'm grieved in my spirit about the things that I see happening among the Lord's people. And part of that grief has to do with for the kingdom at large, what I see happening to Yeshua's kingdom. Part of the grief also has to do with some tests that I'm going through. In that, you know, I'm trying to figure out what is my wall, my proper wall, my proper boundary, that I don't need to let somebody else breach that, but to keep it from becoming an offense or a scandalon, a scandal, you see, I have to deal with these things. You have to deal with these things. I think that what's happening in the body is that we're being given this more and more as a way to tell us it's time to fix it. We have to deal with these things because if we don't deal with them now, when we go into the wilderness, it's going to be really hard on us. It's easier to judge ourselves now than to be judged by the Lord later when he meets us face to face. And I think the reason that we're seeing so many people coming against each other and creating offenses and creating scandals and breaching people's walls and people not taking care of that properly is because we're at a time when we have to learn how to handle these things for when the Great Tribulation is here and all the people of the world who are going to join us in the camps of the righteous come riding in, and now we have to deal with them and all of their problems. I think that what we have to do is get prepared to go through the Great Tribulation. And I see this uptick in problems between people as a sign that we may be getting close to having that Great Tribulation. And so we are being tried by all these scandals. And, you know, when we breach someone's walls or when our walls are breached, everybody, you know, that's on one side or the other of the walls, they all feel justified in feeling how they feel. And they all want to be justified, which is why they all, you know, after something has happened, they go and they talk to other people, when in fact what they ought to be doing is talking to the person who made the breach. So we need to start repairing the breaches. What does it mean to repair a breach? Well, let's take a look at that. Go to Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divides his sheep from the goats. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when we saw you hungry and fed you and thirsty and gave you drink, when we saw you, when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Then he shall say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, here we go back full circle to what I read in the beginning about that which is prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, in 2 Peter. In Matthew 25:42, he says, For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then they shall also answer him, saying, Lord, and these, you notice they're saying, Lord, these are people who believe they have a relationship with the Lord. Lord, when did we see you hungry or athirst or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he said, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So you see what happens is when somebody, this is why the Lord says when somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek, because he apparently needs the satisfaction. There's something deep in him that needs the satisfaction of being able to slap you. Or if he sues you to take your coat, give him your cloak, because he apparently needs satisfaction. There is a breach in the wall, and either he thinks you have breached his wall, or he has breached your wall. Either way, there needs to be some satisfaction that happens. And so how do you repair this breach? You give them what they need to satisfy whatever caused them to batter you. You feed them. You give them drink. You take them in. You clothe them. You take care of them when they're sick. When they're in prison, you go visit them. This is how you do the repairing of the breach. Now let's turn this back around to this Torah portion. In Genesis chapter 21, we learn about the second time that Sarah saw something happen with her midwife Hagar and with the son of Hagar. And this is the chapter where she finally casts this woman Hagar and her son out of Abraham's household. You know, Ishmael's sons, he gets 12 sons, just like Jacob gets 12 sons, and Ishmael's sons are going to help take care of the woman who goes into the wilderness. And those sons are going to come up with approval on the Lord's altar. That's what he tells us. Because they were not supposed to be kicked out of the family in the first place. Now, you can go all the way back and say, well, you know, Sarah shouldn't have given Abraham Hagar or whatever. It doesn't matter. After the child is born, after Ishmael is born, now we've got this problem. He's conceived. Hagar runs out into the desert because Sarah and she were getting into it. The breach was not repaired at that time. The breach was not repaired at that time. So now, 13 years later, when Isaac is being weaned, she's still got a problem. And the only way to get rid of the problem is to kick one of the sons of Abraham out of the family, and to kick him away. Now, she physically removed Ishmael. But guess what? Ishmael is still Abraham's son. She can't fix a problem by getting rid of Ishmael. In fact, what happened was she actually gave fuel to Esau so that later on when Esau decided he was going to usurp Ishmael's house, well, you know, now we have the Edomites and the people that are with the Edomites, namely the Ishmaelites and some other ites that are with the Edomites. It may be, and we don't know, because how can you say, and looking back, what would have happened? But perhaps if the problem had been dealt with, if the wall had been fixed, if the breach in the wall had been repaired, we may have had a different history that included Ishmael as a servant to the family of Abraham. Are you following me? Do you see what I'm saying? Because this breach thing is very important. Later on in that chapter, we read the blessing that the Lord is going to give to Ishmael. He's talking to Hagar, and he says, Hagar, what's wrong? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. If somebody is in the family of Abraham, that person deserves to be treated like you would treat yourself. We are very good at repeating, oh, let me love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and might, and my neighbor as myself. We're good at saying that, but we're not real good at doing it. It's getting worse the closer we get to this great tribulation. Whether it's, this year, next year, 10 years, 25, 50, or 100 years from now, or however long it is, the closer we get to this thing, the more division the enemy is causing, because we say, I don't want to confront somebody. I don't want to deal with that. And years later, now we've got a whole scandal in a community, because we won't deal with the problem. And now we have to get in all the workers, the carpenters and the hewers and the masons and the, Now it's a big deal, whereas it wouldn't have been a big deal if we had been communicating and talking it out and working it out. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us the particulars that happened between Sarah and Hagar, that for 13 years there was no restoration between them, no reconciliation. And so 13 years later, they have this problem. But, it says in Genesis 21:12 that even though Isaac is the seed by which Abraham will be known, it says here in verse 21:12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of your bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said to you, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is your seed. So even though Isaac is the seed through which we have to come into covenant with the Lord, Ishmael is also Abraham's seed. Now, we get, into this thing of, sometimes I hear people say, well, that one is not a believer because, that one is not a believer because, we don't have a right to say who is and who isn't. We don't have that authority, as I have said already. If you have a breach, a problem, an offense, go to that person and ask them how it can be fixed. Feed them, give them water, clothe them, take them in, serve them. And let me tell you that apologies are only the beginning of this process of restoration and reconciliation. You have to fellowship with them and rebuild the trust that was lost. And even if that person forgives you again, you've got to go back to them again. You got to figure it out. What does that person need from you in order to be satisfied? And by the way, if one person's wall is breached, it's possible that both persons' walls are breached and that there needs to be some compromise and some working it out and some understanding between the two. And then there are those who will not talk with you. They don't ever, you've breached their wall or they've breached yours and everybody's mad. They're not going to talk to you. They're not going to be willing to be the one that gives you the coat or that feeds you or gives you water. They're not going to be willing to do that. And they're not going to take anything from you either. Those situations can only be worked out by the Lord. After you've tried and tried, you just go ahead and rebuild your wall. Do the best you can without building an additional wall around the wall that's already there. In other words, fill that hole in. Get the rocks, get the mortar, fill it in, but don't build another wall outside so that nobody can get to you. Just fix what's there as best you can in yourself. Sometimes this takes a long time, too. We've been dealing with this Ishmael situation for 4,000 years, so it takes a long time sometimes, but in the end, we know that the Lord restores all things, and that is to do exactly what Abraham did, to believe in the promise of the Lord and to let the Lord take care of it and just keep believing so that he can count it to you for righteousness. Because, there are people in the world who would rather be right than righteous. And if you're dealing with somebody like that, and you've done everything you can according to the protocol of the scriptures, then you fix your wall because you don't want to let the bitterness come in through that hole in your wall. You go ahead and you fix that wall inside yourself with the Lord. And if you don't like the person that you're fixing, this breach in the wall with, that's a problem with when there's breaches. You don't like the person anymore. They've breached your wall. You don't like them. But you know what fixes the not liking them once you get together and you work it all out? What fixes that? You feed them. You clothe them. You give them water. You take care of them. You do the mitzvah to them. And that will start to change in you. Because the Lord doesn't care really how you feel about the person as long as you act toward them correctly. So you can have that negative feeling about somebody, but if you're doing the mitzvah toward them, if you're doing the things that the Lord said, that if you do it to them, you've done it to him, then, it will change how you feel. Your emotions will follow your actions. Well, I hope that this Torah portion has been a blessing to you. I know I've spent a lot of time over the years talking about repairing relationships. This week we see this big breach in the family of Abraham, and we need to look at ourselves. We need to start with ourselves and repent ourselves of things that we do that are offensive to other people and can become scandals. I just pray that everyone will work on getting this right. This is one thing that we do need to get right. The commandments, keeping the commandments is not about that you have to do them perfectly correct all the time, because we don't necessarily know what is exactly the way that the commandments are supposed to be kept. And so it's not that we would never sin or ever get them wrong. Yet, this one thing we don't dare to get wrong, and that is on how we deal with the breaches in the walls of our temples. So, remembering that it's all about the kingdom, let us lay aside our hurt and anger in favor of reconciliation with our brethren. Shabbat Shalom.